Welcome to a special edition of the Gospel Truth. Today, we're broadcasting from the new CBC property in Woodland Park, Colorado, where several Healing Journeys families have gathered together for a special reunion. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to a special edition of the Gospel Truth broadcast. As you can tell by the setting here, this is in our lodge that the Lord gave us at a piece of property we've named the Sanctuary. This is where we're going to be developing our CBC campus and ministry. And we have a special program today. I've got Alan and Debbie Moore with me. They're from Decatur, Texas. By the time you watch this program, they will be residents of Colorado. They're coming to Bible school. But they have an absolutely miraculous testimony about how Alan had a stroke. And actually, according to the things, there's a portion of his brain that they said was dead. He shouldn't be alive, and yet here he is. You're going to get to hear from him live today. But first, I'd like to go and play this abbreviated version of his testimony. We have their testimony on one of our Healing Journeys DVDs. We're going to play an abbreviated version of it to give you the basics, and then I'm going to come back and share with Alan and Debbie. So let's go and look at their DVD, and then we'll come right back and interview Alan and Debbie Moore.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
July 15th, 2009, we came home from work and we work a 10-hour shift. And it was about 104 degree temperature out there in July here in Texas. And Alan had popped his head in the door over there and he said he was going to go out and move some dirt and said he'd be fine. And I felt like the Holy Spirit really was prompting me to go outside. So I ran down the driveway to find Alan on the ground. And he wasn't answering me. So when I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
After that, she goes and calls 911. I hear the ambulance is coming. Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
And Dr. Shindori became our doctor at that time. They then announced to me that he had had a major stroke.
Stroke means loss of blood supply to the brain. The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke in the right side of the brain, which controls the left side of the body.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
And he said, "Debbie," he said, "you can do this carnally and bring death, or you can do this spiritually and bring life." And I drew the line right there and I thought to myself, I'm going to do this spiritually and bring life. And I realized that all that we had put in was now all coming to benefit. It was all coming to fruit, you know, that we had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free. All I had to do was stay with what I believed. I had to stay with my report. And my report trumped over their report every time.
Mrs. Morway, she didn't flinch and she didn't seem to understand.
She was putting into practice the teaching that we'd had about harnessing your emotions. And so because she wasn't moved emotionally, they said, "This woman doesn't understand."
And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "I understand." I said, "But by the stripes of Jesus, he's been healed and made whole." And he smiled at me and kind of gave me that little nod. And I said, "You watch."
One day, I just got up and was going to go use the bathroom. And all the things that they'd hooked me up with just were falling off me. And
I walked into the room and there's three big nurses standing around Alan, and they want to know how he got where he went.
I said, I don't know how you do it, but I walk.
And they said, but Mr. Moore, you don't understand. You don't walk. And he said, I don't.
And the ninth day, he went home basically walking.
Dr. Shinjori showed Alan the large, massive stroke that he had had, and he said to him, all I can say is that your head does not match your body. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I don't understand anything about this. He says, but your head does not match your body.
I never saw anybody with that big stroke, with also clear-cut blockage of the blood vessel, going out of the hospital in 9 days, just walking. Never saw that in my more than 30 years of neurology practice.
And so we just believe that 1 Peter 1:5 says that Alan's been kept by the power of God through faith. And he walks around today perfectly normal. He's completely healed and he's completely made whole.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work strong, and I'm going to do it in the Lord's strength. And so, praise God, we can see the results, we can see the victory, and so we'll continue to walk in that same way, knowing that God is a good God and His provision is abundant for every grace we need. Amen. Man, that's awesome. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
You know, I just want to point out something before I ask you a couple of questions. But again, I said this with some of our other people, that this happened before I ever met you. I didn't pray for you. What happened was you got hold of the Word of God, and this was the faith that God put in your heart. And again, I want to emphasize how important this is, that you quit learning to depend upon just a person and you look to God for your healing and take the Word of God. And you know, if you would have waited until Alan had this stroke before you started trying to get into the Word, Alan would be dead today.
He'd been dead. That's right.
But praise God, it was the Word of God. How has this changed your life since this happened? What's happened with you?
Well, it's just, you just realized all the human efforts, because we were known around there for eating right, exercising, and doing a lot of things where you'd think we were the last people. People were just surprised when they heard that I had a stroke. They thought, not Alan, Debbie. They would not. This could not happen to them. And we realized it was not the things we did that caused this to happen. It was the thing. It wasn't the thing, physical or the, you know, just the actions and different things we taken. It was us getting understanding. And even though we focus a lot on Christian survival and harnessing your emotion, I believe it was all a foundational thing. You know, if you, these truths of spirit, soul, and body, they just had to be built in our life. And then we could not let our heart be troubled in that kind of situation and see the power of God. And so
how long had you been getting established in the Word before this happened?
Was it 5 years or 6 years, maybe?
Well, before it happened, was 2009. So would you say 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is important because people need to recognize
yes.
you can't mm-hmm. wait until no. you're in the middle of your storm to start trying yeah. to.
And it is a process.
It is.
You know, it didn't happen overnight that we were getting established. And that's important to know, too, because you become very discouraged if you think, well, I'm just going to pick it up and this is going to be quick and easy. It's not.
Well, you mentioned this to me off camera, but it was like when the doctor came in and started telling you all of these things. You had just put the Word in your mm-hmm. heart so much that it came out of your mouth, nearly surprised you.
Yes, it really did, because I was just standing there thinking, wow, you know, and then I remembered effortless change. And I didn't realize how much I had changed, you know, because we had just put the Word in and discipled ourselves and put the Word in. And when I needed it, it was there. And it was no longer a word on the page to me of the Bible. It was life. And that's what made it so real. And that's what really, that's how we received, was because it became life to us. And that's what we believed instead of the report that we had gotten.
So what's happened when people see this DVD and they see the doctor's report that, according to that, I guess still, is it the doctors would say that 1/3 of his brain mm-hmm. was destroyed?
Yeah.
According to the doctors, you shouldn't be walking, talking.
being normal. How do people respond when they see this medical thing and hear, like Dr., how do you pronounce his name? Shindori. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says, your brain does not match your body. When people see that, how do they respond to it?
It's like you just have to work on them to get them to realize where the root of this thing is, you know, because a lot of people try to, your carnal mind is going to try and explain it away. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think why they won the second MRI, because he was showing everybody our head. And it was like, everybody was trying to say, well, just do another one 2 months later when the swelling's gone down. And
they
you'll find out
maybe they
you misdiagnosed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, everybody that sees it, that your carnal mind is going to try to work against the believing part. So, you know, get out of that, get into where you believe what the Word says. You know?
You would think this would make a person believe in the supernatural power of God, but it really doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Have you had people that have rejected it even though they can see that you're still alive and think it must be misdiagnosed?
Yeah, I had somebody try to say that they didn't know what the right side of the brain actually did. And so that's the reason that he functions the way he does, is because really our right side of our brain doesn't do anything. And I thought, that's kind of strange. I saw all the symptoms, his peripheral vision, couldn't swallow, couldn't speak, and now you're telling me that you don't know what the right side of the brain does. But, you know, even Dr. Shindori, he wanted to see us this past March. And he even told Alan, he said, you know, he said, if I wasn't your doctor and I didn't see the MRIs that I've taken and anything, he said, I'd say you never had a major stroke.
Praise God.
And that's a Hindu doctor.
That's awesome.
We've got him watching the healing testimony.
Yeah. Oh,
he mentioned
that right?
Audrey,
yeah, we do.
He mentioned Audrey Scott's testimony.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
So he knew he'd been on
Isn't
there.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Praise God. He may not be Hindu very long.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he actually asked us to bless him and lay hands on him because he's had some physical challenges. And so when we were in his office the last time, he said, would you mind laying hands on me? And we
Praise
said,
the Lord.
Sure would. So then we gave him your book about salvation, you know, and the Holy Spirit and all that, and he received it well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Debbie, you're the one that when this first happened to Alan, he was pretty much out of it. And so you're the one that stood. And I'm sure that there's people watching this program that have something that they're believing God for, and yet everything in the natural looks exactly opposite. Mm-hmm. And so how would you talk to them? What did you do? What was it that enabled you to just stand when the doctor thought, he said, you aren't getting it? It's like you were crazy. He thought that you weren't, I guess, overwhelmed with grief or something, wasn't taking it. How do you tell a person? What did you do that enabled you to stand?
You know, it was amazing because that night that I was all by myself, Romans 8:6 came to me, which we played on that film, and it said I could do, God told me, he said, you can do this carnally and bring death, or you can do it spiritually and bring life. And I encourage people that, of course, like you said earlier, you know, we actually got the teaching before, you know, and that's what I look to. I look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith.
So the
and
word
that's what
came
I had
back
to do.
To
that's all I could focus on. Because if I focused on the natural, that's what I was going to get, was the natural. I was going to have a sick husband. I was going to have somebody in a nursing home, if he lived, you know, and I was going to have to take care of somebody for the rest of my life. And I just thought, no, that's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus died for. And so I just got a hold of what Jesus did on the cross and the covenant that I had, and that's what I stood on. I said, no, this is going to work out for our good.
You know, you've got to get that kind of an attitude to where there is just no quit in you. If there is,
that's
you'll
right.
quit.
You will. You will quit.
If you're just trying it and hoping that things work, it doesn't work. But you, I wasn't there, but it sounds like, and I would hate to be on your wrong side if you were believing for something, that you're like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
You weren't about to quit.
But is that the only way that we win? It is.
It is.
You know, because there is no way that you can be double-minded because you receive nothing from the Lord is what the Word says, okay?
You know, I don't know this for sure, but it appears to me that Satan can read our hearts, whether he can actually do it or if he's just been around for thousands of years and he knows personalities, I don't know. But he can tell if there's quit in you and if you're ready to quit or if you've got plan B or if you're only going to stand for a certain period of time. And if he can see that tentativeness in you, then he'll push you.
Once he
sees that you are going to stand, he knows he's a defeated foe and he might as well quit right then.
That's right.
And you actually have an easier go when you get that attitude. You got to get violently resolved, and that's exactly what you were. It's awesome.
And look at the results that we got.
That's awesome.
We tapped into what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago, and it was a gift to us. All we had to do is say yes to the gift and receive.
So it's obvious that Alan is still alive and well and doing
well, yes.
And that's wonderful. But how else has this changed your life? What's God doing with you since you've seen
this? I've definitely gotten where it's like anytime something kind of comes against you, it's like the desire is for the Word now. It's like, man, I know what's going to help me in this. It's not going to be sitting back and watching the tube or something. It's not. None of those things help. They are no help in time and trouble. It's the Word of God that is just so precious. It's like, man, just let me get aside here and let me do some reading of this Word, you know. And so just more and more I want it. And that's why we're coming to Bible school. We're, we're making this change in our life. We're saying, man, I want to know how to be able to help other people get this understanding and just...
And you both are already involved in full-time ministry, and yet you're coming to Bible school.
Because we need it.
Isn't that something? You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who think that you're already in ministry, but you don't ever get enough.
Nope.
I've been studying recently about Moses where he was saying, Lord, show me your ways. And he had already seen God in a burning bush, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and here he is wanting to know God more.
And I think that that's where he and I are too. Is that, you know, we've sold our home, we've sold all of our furniture, we boxed up the things that we need, and we just decided we're going for it, you know, because we want to be the ones that raise people from the dead, see blinded eyes healed, you know. But you don't do that if you're not just, you know, tenacious about what you believe. And so we want to become fully persuaded in what Jesus said he did, he did. And I believe that as we become fully persuaded, you know, then we're going to be able to lay hands on a sick and see them recover. We're going to be able to disciple other people to be the same way, you know, because that's how this world's going to be reached.
Now, in this video, it showed that you had been studying my teaching on the Christian Survival Kit, which is what to do in a crisis situation and how you grab hold of your emotions and stuff like that. So how important was that in your situation? One of the things I teach is that if you let your emotions get out of control, you've already lost it. You pretty much, how you respond at the very beginning is critical.
That's right. That is exactly right.
And from what I understood, you responded, I mean, just strong immediately.
But I'm telling you, I had that word on the inside of me, and that's what caused me to stand strong, you know. In myself, I couldn't have done it. But I'm telling you, in Him, you can do anything.
I know the way you instructed on harnessing your emotion is it starts out with let a little bit of going in, man, you this thing's gonna run away and you're not gonna be able to get it to stop, you know. And so I just, you know, that you just realize that, hey, just the smallest little me giving place to any kind of emotion can just get this thing going, and I can, you know, I'm not gonna be able to bring it under where she's having to face the doctors and sending other doctors here thinking, if one doctor can't get through to her, send some more and try to get so. And then some family and some, you just don't know where people are going to come up with things that are going to try to get you back off of trusting the Lord onto yourself. Or you know, you just don't know the little things they're going to try to just get you.
Now, this has come up a couple of times that you had to prepare. You can't wait until you're already in a crisis before you do this, that you had to be strong and harness your emotions. So give us a little insight. How do you do that? How did you get the Word in you? What's your lifestyle like? What does that mean? There's people here watching that may say, well, how do you get the Word of God in you? What do you guys do? Like, you told me off camera that you don't even have a TV.
We don't. I can't afford the mixture. You know, and he can't afford
the mixture. So just expand on that. What does it mean to be getting the Word in your heart and getting established in the Word, washing yourself with the Word?
We listen to the Word and talk.
And
the Word.
We got this iPod. We sit right by our bed at night. We just turn the teaching on. We go to bed listening to that, and man, it can really get where you can, sometimes you can't go to bed because you're just getting saying, "Hey, man, this
you're
is something."
Excited.
I know I'm not reacting right when I'm letting myself be in trouble when things come against me. So it's just, you know, you can recognize, "Hey, I'm not in faith yet. I'm not there yet. So I need to."
Now, has this been your lifestyle?
Yes, it was about five or six years.
And you know, the thing of it is you get more and more addicted to it because you see the Word working in your life, and it's exciting. And so, you know, when people say, well, gosh, you guys live a boring... Oh, no, we live a very exciting life. When you come to know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it is like explosive in your life. He and I, we get done whatever we need to get done at our house, you know, and we're into the Word. You know, we're listening to the Word. We're praying in the Spirit. That's actually how we got our house sold, is because you taught a teaching on praying in the Spirit and groaning in the Spirit. And
we took it and we ran with it and got a buyer for our home.
And it worked.
And it worked, you know. And so that's what we want. We want results. But you don't get results unless you separate everything. Remember what the Word says. The Word says that we can't be carnally minded. We can't have the world and serve the world and serve God. There is no mixture. You can't, you're not on that fence, you know, where you can just live on both sides of the fence. You're either going to serve one master or the other. And we just decided that we're going to serve the true and living God.
You know, I can just hear people all over the world saying, you guys are extreme. But, you know, look at the extreme results that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can't make the connection between that. They want the results that you're talking about. But when you tell them what it is that caused you to be strong, they say, that's not the way to do it. And, you know, it just amazes me that everybody wants these results, but they don't want to do the things that it takes to separate yourself. I couldn't tell you how much I've missed out on in 43 years. It's like I've missed 43 years of American culture. But as a result, my son has been raised from the dead.
That's right.
God is doing miracles. You've got your husband alive and well today because of you guys being stark, raving mad
that's
fanatics.
Exactly right.
And that's the way you got to be. You really have
you
to
really
be this committed. You
that's
can't
right.
get the miraculous results that we're talking about playing church and being religious. This is not going to work. And if you go to, there are many of you watching this program that you go to a church that is a dead church and they don't preach the Word of God, and yet you go there for whatever reason and it's just something that you do. And you know what? You aren't going to get these kind of results. We're telling you that garbage in, garbage out. You put the Word of God in you, then it's just like when this happened in Debbie. They came to her and started telling her all of these things. She had been meditating in the Word, and the Word just came out. When she was squeezed, the Word came out because that's what she had been putting on the inside of her. And if you want to get these miraculous results, then you need to do the exact same thing. It could be done differently. You don't have to do it exactly the way they did. But the principle is the same. You have to put God's Word first place in your life and get to where you shut off the other avenues. You know, you haven't told me this, but I just know dealing with lots of people, I bet you probably offended some people.
I'm sure I did.
I know you offended.
I tried to operate in love, though.
But I know that I offend people. I mean, I've done things. I've said things. And it's just like Jesus when he turned around to Peter and he said, Satan, get behind me.
That's right.
For you don't savor the things of God. He wasn't mad at Peter. Satan spoke through Peter, and he had to put the devil in his place. And there's a lot of people that are just not willing to be that strong and take that kind of a stand. But that's what it takes to see these kind of miraculous results.
I think when we listened to your teaching on the true nature of God, I started to realize what Jesus really did for me. And you know, he was pretty drastic. He left heaven's best for us, okay? And when I started to think about that, and I started to think about the covenant that he has with us, you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to be able to receive what he really did and not let it go to waste. I don't want to go to heaven and find out I've got all these gifts up there that I could have had down here.
Amen.
I want it here. You know, and that's our problem is everybody says, well, you know, when we get to heaven, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be better, okay? The truth of the matter is I want mine here.
Amen.
Heaven will be great. You know, but I need it here. I need it now, you know. So I figured he was drastic. Why can't I be drastic?
So, you know, these are people that have seen the supernatural power of God operate in their life. You know, they're prayer ministers for Kenneth Copeland Ministry. They were until you moved up here to come to our school. Debbie, I'd like you, we've only got about 50 seconds. Would you just pray quickly, since you pray with people all day long, a prayer for them to just be strong and stand and overcome whatever it is that they're dealing with?
Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you
for
everybody
Jesus.
That's listening, Father, to this program. And we thank you that they're strong and of a good courage. And we thank you, Father God, that they are going to have eyes to see and ears to hear and have an understanding heart. Just like Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 says, that they've got the spirit of wisdom and revelation and insight into the deep and intimate mysteries of your will. That the eyes of their heart right now are being flooded with light.
Amen.
So that they may know the hope to which they have been called. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you know, we have a number on your screen. You can call our phone center, and there are people that will pray with you and help you. And also, we put together a special package about healing. It has Alan and Debbie's testimony on it in a greater depth, and it would be a blessing to you. So listen to our announcer, and then please call or write today.
The complete story of Alan Moore's healing is included on the Healing Journeys Volume 3 DVD. This DVD is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get this product as part of Andrew's new healing package, which includes Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, and 3, the God Wants You Well booklet, and the new Healing MP3 USB card that includes over 43 hours of teaching from 7 of Andrew's series. God Wants You Well, How to Receive God's Best, How to Flow in the Gifts of the Holy Spirit, A Better Way to Pray, How to Receive a Miracle, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and You've Already Got It. The package has a value of $345, but today you can get the entire healing package for a gift of just $100 or more. The God Wants You Well booklet is available for a gift of any amount. This booklet answers questions about healing and lists every instance in the Bible where Jesus healed. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this booklet free of charge when you write or call. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
This is your invitation to join Andrew Womack and successful businessman and ministry board member Paul Milligan this Thursday on our website for a special live stream video event. The topic? Recession. No thanks, I'm not participating. Go to awmi.net and click on the link on our homepage. You can't afford to miss it.
I've never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world.